focusing on the water and not on God. Focusing on finding somebody big enough to be able to roll his fat self into that water so that he could be healed. Do you get what I'm saying? Focusing on the means rather than the Savior. Wow. 38 years. That's a long time, man. I don't like suffering for 38 minutes. And I've done some 38 days. Monty, we've done some 38 months, right? But we ain't at 38 years yet, right? All right, man. You hear what I'm saying? That was a long time. And I think there's a point to be understood in that. So he says to him, after 38 years, would you like to be well? After 38 years, if I had been suffering 38 years, I'm a-thinking that if he asked me, do you want to be well? Monty, you can... Yes, yes, yes. But that's really not what the word would you like to be well means. The word, he really said, do you intend by your choice to be well? Isn't it funny? That's really who we are. See, because there's a lot of reasons why this guy might not want to get well. He had learned over the years to be dependent on other people. 38 years of this. He had learned the art of begging. And by the way, just so you know, I kind of understand this. There is an art in begging. My homeless guys. Now, they don't do it with me because it's me. But there's an art to this. If you go at Christmas time, those guys make $300 a day. $300 a day. I'm going to go out there. I'm just going to put on some shaggy old clothes. And they make $300 a day. And, you know, some of them use the sign, some of them don't. The cool thing about that time of year, and just so you know, I want you to go out there, like on Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day, you can find homeless people everywhere. Because that's when they come out, because that's when they don't know when you're looking for them. Otherwise, you're never going to find them. You're never going to see them, you know, unless you know where they are. But there is an art to this thing. And I just love it because even outside of my realm here, like Gay and I were in El Paso when I had to get some teeth working. We're walking downtown El Paso, and there's three homeless guys sitting there. Well, I walked straight up to them. Now, I didn't have the guts to say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, you know. Although they weren't crippled, but I just walked straight up to them. So immediately they're thinking I'm going to give them something. They were stunned that I would even. And I was talking to them, say, "Hey, guy, where are you from? And are you local guys?" Or they're looking at me like, "You're going to have a conversation with me?" I'm like, I didn't say that, but I'm like, I shocked you. I'm sorry. I just was curious. You can ask my wife. I'm like, I don't have any money to give you, but I'm just curious. Are you from local? Are you? Well, no, actually, man, I came from Missouri. Well, cool. That's. Next time we went and then we walked by them again. They're like, "Hey, how you doing?" They didn't do the art because. So anyway, this guy, 38 years, you know, he had figured out how to ask for money, whether it was making a sign or whatever, he had figured it out. So, and here's another thing that would happen if he got healed: he would no longer get sympathy and attention for his plight. Listen, I think that's a whole lot of reason why some people are on Facebook so they can get attention for their negative. I've had such a bad day. I'm so sorry, honey. Well, can I help you? I'll be praying for you.
Oh, thank you, everybody. I feel better now.
It's true. It is. Come on, guys. You know it's true. Come on. I get a kick out of it. Sometimes I just want to, when they put stuff like that, I just want to put, that they got a little thing you can click on that has a mad, like you're angry. I want to just do that just so that people can go, "What? Why did I make you angry, man? I'm so sorry." And then you put a smile. "Oh, thanks. I'm better now." It's amazing. It's amazing. Man, guys, listen to me. It hasn't been, 15, 20 years that we didn't have that mess. Good Lord. And we've got a generation that's all they know. And I'm telling you, guys, it breaks my heart. Because they haven't figured out the love that I've got. That they figure that the more likes that they get, the loves that they get, the more stuff they can post, that somehow is their help. There are more kids committing suicide now than there ever have been. Honest to goodness, and it's because of social media. I'm not cursing social media. What I'm saying is, there is a God, and his name is Jesus, that is so beyond that. So don't go for likes, go for him. So he learned the art of begging. I said that, and he would no longer get sympathy or attention. Now look, this is the question that Jesus asked us, and it's very relevant today. If you've been crippled by your past hurts, Jesus is asking, would you like to be well? Because the truth is, sometimes we like to grovel in our hurts because people feel sorry for us. Man, Jesus offers healing and health and hope in those areas where there is no hope. I'm telling you, he is powerful. He is powerful. So, are you chained by a secret sin? Jesus says, do you want to be helped? Or do you intend by your choice to be helped? He will help you. He will pull you out of those things. Are you battling addiction? Do you want to be whole? He stands here today. He says that. Why? Because he loves you. He's not like people who want to notch it on their belt. You know, if I've got me a drug place and so on, I've got 15 people who've gotten off of drugs, man, I can notch it on my belt. Jesus ain't got a belt that he needs to notch, and there ain't a belt big enough to notch it. Do you get what I'm saying? He's awesome. He does it because he loves you. He wants to know if you want to be well because you need to be well. He wants you well. He wants you whole. He really and truly does. That's why he did that whole thing on the cross. Amen. So, here's the next part of the scripture. When Jesus said, do you want to be whole? Here's what he said. I can't, man. I can't, sir. And what I love about this translation, that's literally, when you read the original language, that really the guy was respecting Jesus. It really is like he did say, sir. Well, I can't, sir, the sick man said, because I have no man. I have no man. Well, I put man in parentheses because that's what it literally, the word is man. I have no man to put me in the pool when the waters bubble up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. So Jesus told him, well, you know what? If you just quit griping. This is what I love about Jesus. Do you see this? This man gave every single excuse that he could why he couldn't do it. And Jesus just looked at him and said, you get up. Get up. I don't have that kind of grace. Of course, Jesus is grace. I don't have that kind of, do you? Whining and complaining. Well, you know, I ain't got nobody to help me. You know, nobody will help me, man. I've been trying to get my own apartment forever, and nobody will help me. Nobody will help me. I just can't get no help, Johnny. And yet, and I always want to look at you and go, you are such a toot. I had to go through about 6 words there that I could say. I hang with the fire department too much, guys. I'm telling you, it's like, oh no, not that one. No. Okay, yeah, toot. And look, I just love this. Somebody else always gets there ahead of me, and Jesus just loves him so much. He's like, dude, just get up, roll up your stupid bed, and get out of here. Now the cool thing is he did. So instantly. Instantly, the man was healed. That needs to be significant here for a second. Let's stay there for a second. 38 years. 38 years. And he's instantly healed. That's so... You've been sitting for 38 years. I just don't see how that strength could come back into your leg. I have fallen asleep at my desk. And my legs fall asleep when I fell asleep. I'll never forget one time. I used to have to pick up my kids at school. And it was a Sunday afternoon. And I have a cot in there. I normally sleep on, but I'd fallen asleep at my desk. Dead, deep sleep. And I wake up. I don't know where I'm at. I'm thinking I got to go pick up my son from school. And it's a Sunday, which, again, I look at my watch, and I'm 20 minutes late, and he's going to be standing outside, and I try to stand up. My legs are asleep. Dude, it's straight. I wish I had a video. Straight to the ground. I'm crawling, man. I'm crawling on the ground. And then finally, you know, the cobwebs finally get out of your head, and you're like, this is Sunday. So I stood up, and I didn't have to tell anybody the story, just by sleeping for a couple hours with my legs wrong, I didn't have to. His legs been dead 38 years, and instantly he's healed. And the man was healed, and he rolled up his sleeping mat, And he began walking. But I just love this. This miracle happened on the Sabbath. I think I stopped there. Let me see. Oh, no. I keep going. Let's go. So the Jewish leaders objected because he did it on the Sabbath. And they said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." Wow. Hello, church. Hello, church. Is that not the truth? But he replied, "Well, the man who healed me told me to pick up my mat and walk, and I'm thinking if he healed me, I might probably should do what he said to do." He didn't say that part, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, y'all have been here 38 years. You never did nothing for me. So the man who healed him told me to pick up my mat. "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. You can keep going. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now that you're well, stop sinning, or something else worse is going to happen to you." And then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who healed him. And it does go on. No, back up. I'm not there yet. Where it goes on is, then they got mad and they were going to try to kill Jesus. Now, here's things that I found out of that little block of scripture here. He said, "I have no man." So for 38 years, his focus was on the means to get well, rather than the focus on who. Look, let's bring it into the New Testament. It's really quite simple. You focus on Jesus and not the means. And when you focus on Jesus and not the means happen. Seek for Matthew 6:33, you should know it all by heart. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, not yours. And all these things in King James Version will be added unto you. It literally means, and your entire life will fall into place. So if I seek him first, and so I seek him instead of the means, then my life's going to fall into place. So instead of for 38 years me looking for the next cure, come on, 38 years is a long time. 38 years there was bound to be a new oil that came out that he could have put on himself that they didn't have before. Do you get what I'm saying? If you fast forward to nowadays, good Lord, man, I had my appendix out when I was 19 years old, that's 100 years ago. And they took a chainsaw and took that thing out of me. I'm just kidding on the chainsaw. But what I'm saying is, it was antique, and I was in the hospital for 3 days because my appendix burst in the dark. Now they poke a hole in you, suck it out, and you go home. You know, because there's new technology. So there's new things. Oh, there's new drugs. There's new, yay, yay, yay. And we're looking at the means instead of focusing on him. Do you get it? And so when Jesus comes and says, "Do you want to be healed?" Well, yeah, but you know, I haven't been living for you right, Jesus. I just, you know, I try and I try and I don't do right and I do wrong and I do that and I do that. If you'd shut up for a second, he'd just say, "Stand up and walk." Because it ain't about you, ladies and gentlemen. It's about him. And the cool thing is, we can walk in him. We can walk in him. And I do want to walk in him. So, he said, though, where am I in here? I changed pages. Wait a minute, man. I just threw myself way off. Rock and roll. Here I am. Okay, so I told you it's simpler than that. Focus on Jesus, not the means. When the law demands, you have to have the strength to keep it. But when Jesus commands, it's empowerment for victory. Do you hear me? When the law, you read the law you want. There's 628 of them you got to walk under and get it done. Knock yourself out. You read it, you've got to have the strength to accomplish it. When Jesus proclaims it and commands it, it is an empowerment for victory in your life. Period. End of story. There is no argument in that. That's why Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it," because in fulfilling the law, he gives us our promises that the law had promised without our having to try to do, because he already done. Yeah. Now you're going to go out here saying, "Well, Pastor said do, I heard him." You should have heard me last week, man. I just, whoo. Now, watch this. This is good stuff right here. So, he says to this man, he says to him more than just stand up, right? He says to this man, "Pick up your mat and go." So, what was Jesus doing? This is when I'm staying there. What was he doing? Look, He was removing the possibility of relapse. Do you get it? Get up. You're healed. Yay, I'm healed. And then we all go sit right back down where we're. I can't tell you the times, especially in California, where these guys come straight off of heroin, man. They've been off of heroin for like 3 weeks. I'm going to go save my friends. And I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to go back and do stupid just like you was doing stupid. Don't go there. There'll be a day where you can. I've told you all the story. When Gay and I were dating, it was an Applebee type thing where you go eat, but there's a bar there. And we went in one time, and I looked at her. I'm like, I got to go. What? I said, I got to go. I can't be in here. Fast forward to now, I'll go anywhere I want to go. I can go into any bar that I need to go. Why? Because it don't draw me no more. I can walk in there. I can sit down. Y'all can pound down all the brew you want, and I'll have a Coca-Cola with you and just enjoy the day. And I'll let all them judgmental people that are telling me I can't pick up my mat on a Sunday, I'll just let them judge me all they want. Then I had it happen to me in California. I had a favorite bar. We went to the Pitcher Bar. Me and Roland Blanca Flores, his name. Look him up. He's a famous guy in a creative. He does makeup for like Freddy Krueger makeup, just bloody stuff. Oh my Lord Jesus, help us all. He's going straight to hell in a handbasket, except for he's not because he loves Jesus, but. Anyway, but he liked to drink beer and play pool. Well, I liked to try to put more Jesus in him, so I went in and would drink Coke and we'd play pool. Well, the problem was it was on a major thoroughfare, so when you walked in, if you was going to sneak in, you'd be. I didn't sneak. Well, then I had a pastor friend saw me go in, and somehow when we came out, he just kind of just happened to be there. Oh, Steve, I said, hey man, just went into the Pitcher Bar. With Roland Blanc, Lord, this is so-and-so, right? And I said, we just had a great time. We just shot pool. And I said, Roland actually drank beer, but I drank Coke. You want to smell my breath? Oh, well, you know, I said, dude, you need to come with us. Well, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go judge somebody else. Wow. So Jesus removed the possibility of him falling. That's the point. The point is, when Jesus heals you, he's going to put you in a place. There might be a day where you get to go revisit, and you will have a powerful testimony to the point that you can really see people's lives change. But when we fresh out of stuff, it ain't time to be fresh back in. So he's like, get up, roll up your mat, and go. Because the coolest thing about that is not only is he healed, but the next time he lays his head down, it's all new territory. How cool is that? I would love to live life in that kind of uncomfort. To where it's what Joshua lived his whole life. God said, I'm going to give you the steps you take. And Joshua was in new territory his entire life, and it made him totally uncomfortable. Because we get so comfortable in where we're at. When my Leah was still alive, and we were in Granbury, rough old Granbury, and that was back when it had like three lights or something. She was old then. So we're driving, and we come to a stoplight. And I stop, and Leah goes, Dad, lock the doors. And I'm like, why? She said, this is a bad town, bad part of town. And I'm like, Leah, we're in Granbury, and it's daylight, and the only thing that's going to attack you is maybe a steer or two, or I guess a drunk cowboy or something. Anyway, when I said that, when I just laughed at her, I just, in my little heart, it's like the Holy Spirit said, that's what you do with me. Well, any place where we're uncomfortable, we feel like we got to lock the doors. Man, walk with Jesus. And then even in the middle of the night in Watts in downtown L.A., you won't be locking your doors. You'll be scared, but no. So Jesus removed the possibility of relapse by telling him to take his stuff and move on and never come back here. Oh, there'll be somebody else to fill up his spot. I promise you, when that guy got healed, there was somebody else the next day that was filling his spot. Now, then you look at these wonderful Jewish leaders. Instead of praising God for the healing, the Jews reprimanded the man for carrying his bed on the Sabbath. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the church. Because that's what we do. And I say we, not us. That's what we have done in the past. Some still do. I'm here to tell you, and I hope it makes you mad. You can go find places that will believe that. It is time that we let God be God, and we praise Him, even if He heals somebody that we don't want Him to heal. And now, when I say heal, it's not just physical healing. Oh wow, it is the healing of the mind, the healing of the pain, the healing of the whatever you didn't like about them. So religious people don't see good. They pick it false. They didn't see anything good in this man, 38 years, being healed and whole. All they saw was he didn't do what the law said to do. I told you the story last week about the kid that cussed when he was praying over me and how it offended religious people. It didn't offend me. I was bawling. He was speaking life into my life. And he just happened to use the S word in the midst of it. And you could sense that some people did. I don't care. He was ministering life to me because Jesus was using him even with his raw language. And the sad thing is the church people will go out, stub their toe, say the same thing, and then grovel. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please, stop it! Man, listen to me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Though I slip up, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have power that nobody else has because I'm in Christ. It's because of Him, not me. Outside of Him, no, in, yeah. I cussed, oh baby. I flipped a bird, oh my, I'm staying in Him. If I got to chase it, I'm staying in Him. Do you get it? But the love I love about Him, you don't got to chase Him. He just stands there solid as a rock. I picked you, you didn't pick me, He says. Wow. What a great God we serve. So, let's be really honest here. When he said, I can't, sir, he really meant, I won't, sir. Right? I think sometimes that happens because it's easy for us to blame others. It's easy for us to even blame circumstances. Not just others. I mean, because we can blame others, and that happens a lot. But I think more people now blame circumstances. Oh, well, I can't because I can't afford. Or I can't because this situation happened to me. Oh, I can't because of, this is one I hate, of what happened to me, my past. Jesus won't heal me because of the way I did my past. Why would you, and I've used this illustration before, why would Jesus heal me of lung cancer when I smoked for 20 years? I deserve lung. No, you're right, you deserve it. Oh, let's stand right there for a second. Yes, sir, yes, ma'am, you deserve it. But all that you deserve was taken care of on the cross. Do you get what I'm saying? That ain't playtime. That is truth time. That is truth time. So you sitting there and you struggling with lung cancer or whatever other herpes, whatever, pick your poison. The bottom line is Jesus is who He said He is. Jesus took care of things on the cross. He died on the cross. His blood was shed on the cross for the remission, the total taking away of our sin. His body was whipped and bruised for us so that we can be totally and completely whole. Got nothing to do with your past. Got all to do with who He is. Amen. Man, oh man, grab it. Hold on to it. Believe it in your spirit. And I'm telling you, when you believe it, you'll receive it. If you doubt it, you do without it. No, I'm kidding. Let's see, hold up, New Rain. You just did a new album, right? Did you throw any of my tracks down? You didn't, did you? No, come on, man. You need to go back, revise it. You need to go back. You need to do, done. Remember we did that. We worked on that one last week. And we'll find another one this week if you want me to. We'll work on it. Now, by the way, when are you coming back from Hawaii? I like your shirt, man. If you're a guest here today, sorry, this is how it works. So there you go. This is how it works. So now watch this. Here we go. I told you it's easy to blame. Man, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil. Right? It's easy to blame. Everybody finds blame. But here's one of my most favorite stories, and I'll show it to you quick, and then we'll head to the home stretch, is Aaron, the high priest. By the way, just so you know, the background of Aaron, the high priest, he was an artisan. He was a very talented sculpture guy, right? So I want you to know that because of what happened. Here's what happened. Do you remember they Moses went up to get the tablets, And he stayed up there too long as far as the people were concerned. Isn't it funny how we feel like God's gone too long? He was up there too long, so the people got a little antsy, and they thought he was dead. So they're thinking they're going to have to do another something. They're going to have to go another direction. you know, because again, their eyes were focused on stuff. So it says, so then what happened was, because Moses was gone so long, Aaron said, take off all your jewelry and we'll make something. We'll make a god, because Moses ain't here, so we got to have a god to serve, right? So it says, Moses took the gold and he melted it down. Now watch this, this is important. And he molded it into the shape of a calf. So he molded it. He took his skills. Now you need to hear this because of his the way he says it. He molded it. He used his skills to make this calf, right? Now watch. So when the people saw it, they exclaimed, oh, Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. How crazy is that, by the way? So this is even something I don't think I would do. This is one I can't wrap my brain around. After all what God had done for them, knowing that he is Jehovah Jireh, God, knowing this, how could you all of a sudden proclaim that this calf is the God who brought him out of Egypt? I'm going to ask that question. No, I won't. I always say stuff I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. No, in heaven I'll be doing this. I'm telling you the truth. When my daughter died, for 3 or 4 years, I kept telling the Lord, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't want to see you first. I want to see my daughter. I'm telling you, and I felt bad about it, you know, but so I had a dream one night. It's so cool. And in the dream, I'm up in heaven, and just so you know, the dream was real. Overwhelmed. And I'm gobsmacked, as they say in England. And there's this little tap on my shoulder. And I look over and it's Leah. And I go, that's it. Glad you're here, kid. Wow, look at this. No, and it really set me free from feeling guilty that I was somehow dissing Jesus because I didn't want to see him first. Really? I can diss him, right? Anyway, sorry, I got off way off track there. So Aaron saw how, now this is what's so funny, he saw how excited the people were. Holy smoke, woo-hoo-hoo, I'm going to be a leader now. These people love it. They love my calf I made. And Aaron saw how excited the people were, so he built an altar in front of the calf. And then he announced, tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord. But what happened was unfortunate, because tomorrow did come, and it became today, and Moses just hadn't be coming down the mountain with them tablets from God of the laws, right? And then here's what happened. So when they came near the camp, Moses saw the calf and the dancing, because they were partying down with their new little calf. And he burned with anger. Love Moses' anger, by the way. And he threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it. Then he ground it into powder, threw it in the water, and made them drink it. You want another god? Here you go. Drink it, baby. Ain't no Gatorade. That's Caf-Aid. Verse 21. Finally, Moses turned to Aaron and demanded. Now listen, when he demanded, this is how he said it. What did these people do to you to make you bring such a stupid, terrible sin upon them? And here's Aaron's reasoning. Oh, don't get upset, my lord, Aaron replied. You yourself know how evil these people are. And they said to me, make us gods who will lead us, so we don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt. So I told them, well, whoever has gold jewelry to take it off. And when they brought it to me, I simply threw it into the fire and out came this calf. Son of a gun. Can you believe that? We just threw all that gold in there, and it just, whoop, here comes Elsa. And you go back where he specifically, and I'm sure took plenty of time to make it, right? Here, let me bring it into our time. All right, let me do that. Let me find my, here we go. Well, I'd stop drinking if she had stopped nagging. Huh? I'd work harder, but nobody appreciates me. I'd make better grades, but the teacher doesn't like me. Jesus asked, do you want to be healed from your past hurts? Oh, you don't know how bad they hurt me. He asked, do you want to be loose from the chains of your secret sin? Oh, I just can't control myself. To the addict, he says, do you want to overcome? I have an addiction, it's a disease, and it's not my fault. Jesus said to the cripple, do you want to be well? And he said, I don't have anybody to put me in. You get it? We have the most powerful God who created us because he wanted someone to love him. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And it's not about what you've done and how stupid you've been. It's all about him wanting to heal you and love you. So I promise if you will sit there today with him and give him every single excuse that you have concerning your life and how it ain't going right, he's going to listen to you, and he's going to listen to you completely. And then when you finally be quiet, he's going to say, get up and go. Amen. Get up and be healed. So here's my conclusion. I'm not talking about self-help in this. It's 100% Jesus. It's all Jesus. But there is human responsibility here. Who healed the man? 100% Jesus. Who had to walk? 100% man. You get it? Who died on the cross to reunite man with God, becoming sin to remove all sin, and to make us righteous because he is righteous? 100% Jesus. Look at the scripture. But when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we'd done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. And because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Because of what he did, 100% of what he did, not anything that you could do. However, here's the kicker. Let me find my... There it is. So, he's the 100%, but who must confess and believe? 100% man. Watch this. If you confess, what does that mean? That doesn't mean grovel. That means you say, wow, I am dumb. Wow, I have done stupid things. I've told you a million times, I'm going to say it till I'm dead. Half the gospel is how bad we are. Because until we recognize how bad we are, we will not recognize the need for him. Because we'll think we can do it on our own, and we can't. And that word sin is the word hermartia, and it's even worse because it literally means miss the mark. That's even harder. Do you not get it? I miss the mark when I turn left and not right. We can't do it. But if we confess with our mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we'll be saved. Sozo, our life will be totally healed and whole. Every avenue of your life, head to toe, soul, mind, spirit, all of it, saved. It's not just a ticket to heaven, it's saved. For it's by believing, pistis, in your heart, that you are made right. You have to believe in your heart that you're made right with God. You have to believe it. You can't just proclaim. You have to believe it. And it's hard to believe because nobody will love us like that. There's not a person alive that can love me like that. But here's a God that says, if you got to believe that I'm made right with God. And then it's by confessing with your mouth that you get the sozo. So I have to confess, God, I'm terrible, but you're awesome. My righteousness is as filthy. We always stay there, and then we go home from church. You get it? I could tell you all day how bad you are if you want me to. Why bother? You do pretty much good on your own. Either that or you're so arrogant you don't need to be in church anyway. You get what I'm saying? Oh, I've never sinned. Whatever. I told you, I had a friend of mine, she was a girl. She told me she had never cussed, not only never cussed, David, but she said, I have never even thought a cuss word. Never even thought a cuss word. Is that what, it was Donna. And, you know, let me tell you, you know what I did? I rattled off about 30 of them. The worst ones I could think of. And I said, well, there, you thought of them now. People... wouldn't you just love your job if people weren't in it? Yes. I another fascination with God, man. How he loves us is amazing. Why didn't he just start over? Because we'd be a mess again. Unless he made robots, and we're already making those, so good luck on keeping your jobs. No, I'm kidding. Okay, where am I at here? So who must confess and believe? 100% man. So who makes me holy? Who gives me power to live above sin? 100% Jesus. Here's the scripture. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. What do you mean he lives in you? If you believe Jesus, he lives in you. He, not it. I'm tired of the Holy Spirit being a it. Everybody's like, well, it. No. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, John, you're walking out and you go, well, look at it. Well, I mean, it's kind of offensive, right? Well, look at it. Oh, yeah. But you know what I mean? The Holy Spirit is part of the Holy Spirit's all we got. Jesus is in a man's body sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He's awesome. Bible says very clearly we're sitting there with him. By faith, we're sitting there with him. But he also said, I got to go so I can send the Holy Spirit who's going to reside inside of each one of you. That's God in us. It's Jesus. It's God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But he's there. So look, the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead, somebody had to raise Christ from the dead, and it was this Holy Spirit. The same Spirit, by the way, if you study it out in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, where God said he breathed into man, it's the same breath. Ha! That raised Jesus from the dead. He blew back into Jesus' body. Whoop, he came back. Just like he did with Lazarus. Whoop, he came back. Whoop, there it is. Oh, okay, sorry. That's even an old song, right? I'm like showing my age when I'm doing like, whoop, there it is. My music, it hits so hard. Makes me want to sing, oh, my Lord. I'm doing this for my wife. Thank you. I'm hearing you, honey. I know. You're hungry. I get it. All right. Watch this. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, in other words, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and it's a pretty powerful thing that's happening in you, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you got no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by what it dictates, you'll die. But if through the power of the Spirit that is in you, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. I am struggling with sin. Start focusing on Jesus and stop focusing on your sin. And when you get into that love relationship, you will stop in the midst of it. Listen to me. You will stop in the midst of it because you will serve him and obey him out of a love relationship, not out of a demand. And I've shared the story a million times. Let me give you the Cliff Note version of it. The woman I told you about who had this horrible husband, and he made a list about all the things she had to do for him because she was a stay-at-home mom, and you'll have breakfast for me at 6 o'clock, and I'll have 2 eggs, and I'll have this bacon, and then at lunch you'll have this, and all the dishes will be done when I get home, da 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 da. And she learned to resent him and to hate him. And then finally, thank Jesus, he died. And when he died, she swore she'd never do another man. I get it. How many of you women can say that? I'm never going to not done with men. Or women, either way. And so this guy just loves her, just falls, and she's wanting to fall in love. She's not going to. She's got the wall up, looking over a little bit. Man, finally, she realized this guy's legit. He loves me with no condition. And so she falls head over his love, and she marries him. And they've been married for like 10 years, and she's in the kitchen cooking and making meal for him, just thinking about how good he's been to her, and blah, blah, blah. And she goes in her pocket, and she finds that list in her old apron from that first husband. And everything that's on that list, she's doing. She's doing out of a love for her husband rather than out of demand from his law. Do you get it? And until you understand that, until you get into that relationship, your life will never change. But let me tell you something. When you recognize that he knows you better than you know yourself and he loves you more than anybody else could, it is scandalously weird. But man, if you'll receive that, You will walk in the freedom of all 38 years that you didn't do. Do you know what's so fun? That guy, that he was 38 years. The second he was healed, I think all those 38 years vanished. I told you, when I was in California, I was hitchhiking. And I was 10 hours, same spot. In California, the law, you can't walk and hitchhike. You can hitchhike, but whatever. We won't go there. Anyway, so 10 hours, man. And I'm just, finally, this guy stops and picks me up. I'm 5 minutes in the back of his pickup, which I don't blame him because I did look kind of rough. I'd totally forgotten about those 10 hours. You get it? This guy, 38 years, once he got healed, he totally forgot about it. So, God's work in our lives. Did I finish that scripture? I did. Yes. God's work in our lives, last scripture, is accomplished by His grace alone. And again, grace is a person. His name is Jesus. Grace is not a doctrine. But it's accomplished by Jesus alone. But to experience it, we must reach out in faith in our belief and cooperate with Him in the process of living life in a new way. Final scripture, love this scripture. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Stop hating folks. And stop telling me you're not hating when you are. You hear me? When you post something that you of hatred on, I don't care whose battle it is. Hate is hate, ladies and gentlemen. Don't care what color it is. Don't care what denomination it is or what political affiliation. Hatred is hatred is hatred is hatred. Don't copy that. And God, don't copy that and stamp it with God on it. Good Lord, man. You're the one that are saying, here you see somebody get healed. And, oh, he wasn't healed. Man, look, he broke the law. Look what he did. How about we look at something positive in everybody? Do you in everybody's life? Everybody are. This is going to sound really stupid. Everybody are people. Everybody are people. Do you hear me? Everybody is a person. Whether it's Muslim, whether pick whatever person you hate, that person is a person that Jesus died for, that Jesus loves, and that Jesus wants to be whole. So that when he or she does become whole, don't gripe about them not doing it correctly. Rejoice in the fact that God did it for them. So don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Let God transform. Metamorpho is the word there. Metamorpho us. You know, metamorphosis. We know the story. Turning the worm into the butterfly, the tadpole into the frog. The cool thing is when you really have metamorpho happen in your mind, because this is in your mind, changing the way you think. When you have that happen in your mind, everything changes. Everything changes. Your outlook, your perspective, your talk, your walk. Everything changes when you have been transformed from a worm into a butterfly. And no matter how pretty a butterfly you are or how ugly a butterfly you are or whatever, it's not the point. Or if you're a tadpole to a frog, ugly. Well, all frogs are ugly. But anyway, you hear what I'm saying? It's not that what matters is you can never go back to where you were once you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind, is how it says it in the other versions, but by let God transform you by the renewing, by changing the way that you think. Your phronio, that's your brain in Greek, it's called phronio. He will change the way you think. You've got a great heart, man. Everybody, I believe, has a great heart. They just need to have their minds transformed into an understanding that truly God is who He is and that He does, unfortunately for some of us, love everybody. And He wants everybody whole. Everybody whole. Including me. And including Monty. And including whoever else is in it. David. And you hear me? It's a matter of belief. So, I've run out of notes. I wish I had another page, but I don't. He is so, so good. And I am so not. And I am so glad.
Here's my apron. Here's my note.
Oh, no. The question is, which husband am I?
Don't let Steve push your button in church anymore.
That's it.
Just kidding. Listen, when he said to him, do you intend by your own choice to be made well? Right? I want you to think about what else came next. Do you intend to let him do it the way he wants to without telling him how he needs to? Because it was the Sabbath. Other people were saying, you can't do it. That's the wrong way. Maybe God's allowing something in your life to cause you to bring victory that you've never had before, because there's a place you wouldn't go with him because you're so comfortable with the familiar and with the excuse. Yeah, everybody else goes in ahead of me. I'm coming back one day, you know, and I love it. When I go to pick up the bread in the morning, it makes me happy if I hit every light green from Watauga to the church. I always tell them, like, honey, I hit every light green. I just feel like that's a...
You don't speed limit, you will. That's why I never do.
Well, there you go. But I just kind of feel like that's God just winking at me or something, like, hey, you're doing a good job or something. So I'm sailing along, I'm doing the speed limit, and I get to, and it turns red really quickly. And I was like, look at all those people who got ahead of me. And I was doing so good getting through. I was making some leeway in that line. And I heard the Lord say, look around you. Where are you? And I said, I'm first in line. And he said, yeah, let them go, because I want you to be first. And it was so beautiful. And I just was like, God, you're so good. But will you let him do it his way? Will you get in cooperation? If the man didn't get up, he could have stayed where he was. Let God strengthen you by his word. Let his promise become the electricity that moves through your body and gives you the strength to do what you need to do. Listen, when I pray for you, Sergio, I'm not praying for you to stay sick. I'm believing you're not going to be on medicine. You're going to be healed. When I pray, that's how I pray. So I want you to stand with me today, and I want us to begin to receive not just the word that you've heard, but I want you to receive the life in that word for you. I don't want the next testimony to be us waiting for someone else. Who in here wants the next testimony to be you? That's not greedy. That's honest. Lord, let it be me. Keep your hand up. Just say it. Lord, let that be me today, God. Lord, I pray, God, for those places in us, Lord, where we have agreed more with the enemy than with you. Lord, forgive me and help me to realize today, God, you're not limited by time. You're not limited by physical condition. Help me, God, to take the limits off you and see the miracle I'm asking for. I believe you today, God. I believe you for love to come where hate has been. I believe for this tide to turn, God. Turn it today, God. Let love, God, flow through us and flow to us from you. And I thank you for that today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now there are just so many things for you to get involved with, to get that word. You know, you need it more than once. Would it be good enough for you? Would you like to get paid more than once a week? Right? Then let's get the word more than once a week. You with me? Let's begin to study and know what he said. And I'm just going to tell you, there's plenty going on this week, so get involved. There's a cake class sign out there. You can pay at the door for cake class if you want to do it, but keep one another in love. Now, before you get out of these pews, turn around and love on somebody. Tell them you love them. That's it.